Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We have entered into the second indictment which God lays against His people Israel in the prophecy of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and Malachi the prophet, Malachi the book is the last book of the Old Testament, and Malachi the prophet, the one who wrote this book, the prophet, the spokesman for God, who delivered God's message to God's people, was the last of the Old Testament prophets. There were no more prophets for more than 400 years until the coming of John the Baptist. And the book is a series of charges or indictments against the people of God, wherein God says, here is a problem. And Israel says, I don't see it. Where's the evidence of the problem? And God says, here is the evidence. The first charge was Israel's unrequited love, unreturned love, a denial of God's love for them. You find this in verses 2 through 5. I have loved you, says the Lord. Israel says, wherein have you loved us? God says, in that I loved Jacob and hated Esau. Wasn't Jacob Esau's brother? Or wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? You are the descendants of Jacob. I loved you with an incredible love. I did you good in ways that I did not do to any other people on the face of the earth. And here is your nation's father's twin brother, and I passed over him and did not bestow similar love upon him, though the circumstances of the two nations were very similar, and the deserving of judgment of the two nations was very similar. But I poured out loving kindness upon you in a way that I did not pour it out upon Edom. There's the evidence of my love. How can you miss it? But then we moved on yesterday to the second indictment, which is unacceptable worship, defiling the worship of God, worshiping God in practice without heart devotion, in worshiping God in externals without an internal heart's desire to love Him and to worship Him. That's the charge. And so we'll go into it a little bit further on this Thursday, September 12th. We're glad you could join us, and we're very grateful for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to do this. Well, the problem, the charge, was their failure to honor God. A son honors his father, verse 6 of chapter 1, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Everybody agrees that a son ought to honor his father. Are you my child, my children? Am I your heavenly father? Then where's my honor? Everybody agrees that an employee ought to honor his employer, the man who, or the one, it could be a woman, who provides you with a job to earn an income, to provide for your family and for your needs. There's a certain level of honor and respect that is due to that person for helping you in this way. Everybody understands that. If I am a master, where is my reverence? Where is my honor, says the Lord God? It's missing in my relationship with you you would give more honor to an earthly father than to your heavenly father. You do give more honor to an earthly father than to your heavenly father. You give more honor and reverence to an earthly master than you do to your heavenly master. What's wrong here? Something is terribly wrong. And so that's the basic charge, failure to honor God, laid forth in two uncontested statements. Number one, a son honors his father. Number two, a servant honors his master. But it continues with an accusation based upon two fundamental relationships, and that is child and servant. A relationship between a father and his child, if I am a father, says the Lord, and the relationship of a master to his servant or employer. And so this accusation assumes that Israel acknowledges God as father. The exact wording is, if then I am a father. So the very way of stating that is saying, you call me your father. You acknowledge me as your father. If I am, which obviously you believe that I am, you take that for granted. If I am, then where is the honor that goes with that relationship? And then the same thing with the second one. It assumes that Israel acknowledges God as their rightful master. And if I am a master, as you obviously acknowledge that I am, then where is my honor? Where is my reverence? Those two words that are used, the honor for the father and reverence for the master. Now, it's interesting. We don't find a lot of places in the Old Testament where the fatherhood of God is emphasized. That's a much more highly emphasized truth in the New Testament. In fact, I remember hearing decades ago somebody, a pastor, preacher, teacher, I don't remember now who it was, who said that God is never referred to as Father in the Old Testament. That's an entirely New Testament concept, but it turns out, like so many statements that we hear and just accept at face value, it turns out not to be exactly so. And here's one of the places, and there are a few others, one of the places where the Old Testament does teach the fatherhood of God over those who trust in Him, those who are His children. Here it is. If then I am a father, Israel called God their father, not frequently, but that was a term that they evidently used and acknowledged, and yet they took it for granted. Like so many today. Nearly everybody wants to call God their father. Everybody wants to be included in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Everybody wants to be included in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, whether they are true believers or not. If they call themselves Christians, if they ever go to church, if they ever say the Lord's Prayer or heard it said, if they hear anything about the fatherhood of God, it seems like everybody wants to get in on that relationship, but like Israel of old, in so many cases, without the appropriate honor. Taking that relationship for granted, in many cases, taking that relationship for granted when it does not even exist, because, as we know, the Bible does not teach that God is the father of everyone. He is the father of His children, and we become children by the new birth. We become born into the family of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rightly claim God as our Father when we have been born again by His Spirit, and when we are, in fact, His child, when we are members of the family of God. We can rightfully call Him Father, but there are many people who claim His fatherhood, but they don't want to give Him honor. And likewise, many who will acknowledge God has a right to be called Master, but they don't give Him any reverence. Where is my honor, says God? The word honor is an interesting word. It literally, in the Hebrew, is a word that means heavy. Where is my heavy? That doesn't make sense to us. But it's a word that acknowledges weight or importance. this, if something is heavy, it is considered to be, it's a weighty matter. We use that kind of language. Here's a trivial matter. Here is a weighty matter. Well, here is a superficial honor, and then there is weighty honor that is of supreme importance. Where is my reverential fear? Where is my weighty honor? Honor means heavy. Where is my reverence? And that word means reverential fear. And this, we are told, these questions are spoken by the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? The Lord of hosts. That evidently refers to the host of heaven. That is, he is a ruler, the ruler of a myriad of angels. How many angels are there? We have no idea. But they are numerous. They are vast. God created them. God rules them. They consider him their master. They obey him implicitly. He is the Lord of hosts. He is a mighty ruler over an innumerable host of obedient, submissive, and gladly worshiping creatures, the Lord of hosts, the host of angels, and yet he is also the father of a great number of people upon the earth, many of whom are not giving him anything close to the honor that the angels give him. Something wrong here. And it even gets worse. This is a failure that is not simply the failure of the people, generally at large, but particularly of the priests of all people. A son honors his father, verse 6, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Wow! The priests, the very ones who have been entrusted to teach God's word to his people and to lead God's people into God-honoring worship, they are the ones who are taking the lead in despising God's name. God's name, which means who God is, all his attributes. The priests who've been given the privilege of teaching God's word to the people and given the privilege of leading God's people in worship, the priests who do not like God as he has revealed himself to them and to us. I wonder how many worship leaders in congregations across America, maybe some who are listening even to this broadcast today, are all caught up in the, what shall we say, the mechanics of worship, the drama, the production, the music, the power of the music, and all of that. And if your heart were revealed, if God would display the true condition of your heart before the people that you're leading in worship, they would see, to your shame, that you are far more interested in bringing honor to yourself than bringing honor to God. You are far more interested in achieving adulation and acclaim to yourself than you are to directing that worship to God. You are not honoring his name. You are despising it by taking honor to yourself that belongs only to God. That's what Satan did. That's what Lucifer did. The very people who are entrusted with the responsibility of worship, and I say that to worship leaders, I can say that to preachers, to pastors, I can say that to anyone who's been given this responsibility. If we don't guard our hearts very carefully, we can give worship to ourselves rather than give it to God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.